Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Well, this morning we have a young preacher, Phoebe Cho, to come and minister the word of God. You know, when she preached, Pastor Kara mentored her. A good preacher will teach now a good preacher how to preach. We are so blessed. I want to believe that young people in this house will be released to share the word of God, to preach the word of God. So let's give her a warm welcome as she comes.
Hello? Better? So loud. God is good, yes? Amen. All the time, God is good. And I've got to thank Him for being so faithful with us. So amazingly, He has just provided for us, right? As I was preparing my heart to preach, I was going back through last year's sermons. And it was so amazing, the voice of God through everything, you know. Pastor Jeremy Griffiths came. We had so many guest speakers who came and spoke life and truth into our family. You know, I about 12 months ago stood here and I said, guys, I feel it's a new season. It's a new season for this house. I feel it's a new season for our city. I feel it's a new season. He's doing a new thing. And guess what? See, He is doing a new thing. He is doing a new thing. And He is so good with all of His timing, just preparing us. You know, we've come off a 3-year journey in terms of our church theme, and it finished on love, right? Love. And then the next thing is, see, He's doing a new thing. And I'm so excited to see what He's doing in this moment, because I tell you what, the world needs it more than ever. Right now, woof, 2020, it's supposed to be a great year, new decade, I'm turning 40. And then this. You know, bushfires, we've had coronavirus, we've been in lockdown. The whole world shut down, literally in weeks. And we need His hope more than ever, right? So as coronavirus is, I have been spending time, there's a couple of things you do during coronavirus. One is eat a lot, yes? It's called the coronavirus kilos. People are still paying the price for it right now. But it was time as to just reflect, to spend time in His Word, to ponder upon the Scriptures, to read, and to really press into the things of God. And God is speaking to me for this season, and there's so many messages, so many things He's laid on my heart. And I remember going to my parents' house a couple of weeks ago going, so many things, what do I say? How do I put it all into words? I don't know. But guess what? Our God is so good, right? So faithful, so good. He never deserts us, and His timing is always perfect. So last week, we had Patrick Cumblestone come and preach. And you know when God is moving is because He confirms things, right? So in my diary, I wake up early in the morning, and I go and I pray. And I write my prayer out, you know, old school. And on my heart, God was showing me a picture of a jigsaw puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle. And this jigsaw puzzle is huge. It transcends all time, the beginning and the end. It is infinite. It's God's jigsaw puzzle. And I tell you, for any parents that have to drop off kids at school, when you get to kindy and pre-primary, you know you have to sit there and do the jigsaw puzzle on the mat. I dread that moment. I am terrible at jigsaw puzzles. My mum has a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. I couldn't even put one piece down. But this jigsaw puzzle was God's jigsaw puzzle. And it's so much easier to do the jigsaw puzzle when you know the picture, when you can see clearly the picture, you just match it, right? But we don't know what the picture is. We can't see the image, but we know what the picture is of. You see, the picture is of the New Jerusalem. Heaven on earth, God dwelling with us as we are His people. He is our God. That's the picture. That's the end. That's also how God intended creation to be, right? And as we go through the jigsaw puzzle, Patrick was speaking about the four corners, which is cheat's guide to any jigsaw puzzle. Yeah? You find the corner pieces and you move from there. And the first one is creation, then the fall, redemption, and the end, revelation, right? And so God was showing me this huge jigsaw puzzle and putting the pieces together. And anyone who does jigsaw, who does jigsaws here? Anyone? So wise jigsaw people will know you start with the corners. Then what do? You go the sides, all the straight edges. And then you start to group the pieces together, right? That's the strategy of a jigsaw puzzle. You look at the parts that look like sky, you put them there. You look at the parts that look like water, you put them there. For a colorblind person doing jigsaw puzzle, it's really quite hard. But you start to place the pieces. And each piece has an image. It's the image of God imprinted onto that piece. Each piece fits in with another piece. And it fits as a part of a greater plan, which is His. And so God started to lay on my heart about this jigsaw puzzle. And I sensed that these are pieces coming together, but how do we bridge the gap? How do we move from the water to the sea and connect them together? How do we do that now in this moment? Because I tell you, you look outside, there are a lot of divisions. There's a lot of disunity in this world. And the scriptures, the Bible tells us of how to live. You know, our God is an awesome God, and every single person that has been, that is here, that is to come, is a part of God's plan. Every single person is uniquely designed, created, imprinted with the DNA of God, made in the image of Christ. So how can we come and see that? How do we build the bridges? How do we dissolve the divide which is there in this world right now? So, my mum, being a very wise woman, said, start with a title. Get a scripture, and it will all flow from there. So the title that I have today is called A New Humanity, and it's about dissolving the divide. And the scripture that I have for us is Ephesians 2, verse 15 to 18. Now, God's been laying on my heart Ephesians 2, but I was always concentrating on the beginning part. You are the handiwork of Christ, created, prepared in advance for His good work. So I've always been focusing on number 2, verse 10, but when you read it in context, this is what it says. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier dividing the wall of hostility by setting aside in His flesh the law with His commands and regulations. Listen closely. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile them both to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this opportunity to gather in Your house. Thank You for the opportunity to come together to connect with one another. Lord God, two things You require: to love You and to love one another. That's the Ten Commandments in basic form. Lord, I pray as we look to You to know You more, that we will be humble. Humble to what You are saying, humble to seek Your face, humble to submit to Your will, Your way. And Lord God, as we come together, I pray that You would knit us stronger together, that we are better together as humanity, one new humanity, far and near. Lord God, that we may be a blessing to the nations. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, we got the title, we got the scripture, bit of an overview story. I am listening to Pastor Cara. She's so good. Thank you, mentor. And then we have the learnings. And I wanted to share some of the stories that I've been reflecting on over this season. And there were three stories in particular within the Bible that as I went to ponder upon it, as I went to study on it, there were some really glaring truths that were coming out. And that's what I wanted to base our practicality on today. And the three stories are this: Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So it's John chapter 4. And it's so interesting. Do you remember we're on the phone? This is just at the beginning of coronavirus. I'll just share this. It's March, probably about 20-something. I'm on the phone to Pastor Cara. And I was like, oh, God's been laying this on my heart. Remember, seeking the true worshippers, right? Straight after the Samaritan woman, the true worshippers. That was when it was really, I was reflecting in this moment, in this the story. But this is a story of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and he goes against all cultural norms. Because at that time, men didn't really associate with women, yes? Let alone a Samaritan woman. It is like a culturally completely different divide. And there is a beautiful story there about how Christ loves in that moment, how Christ connects in that moment. You know, we don't have time to unpack all the stories, but I want to give you the essence of the story inside there. Bridging the gap. Yeah, it's so funny how people will say, oh, you know, Christianity is one of those religions that doesn't enable women. It puts women down there. And I say, oh, are you talking about the same God that I know? No, God loves women, God loves men, God loves everyone. Everyone matters to him, right? And the next story is about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. It's a really interesting story of Philip. Philip makes his appearance first in John, and Jesus says, come follow me. And he goes, yes, and he follows. Instantaneously saved, called as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then, in his first act, he goes and pulls Nathanael into the group. Already an evangelist for Jesus. You know, you fast forward to Acts, and this is this moment where the Spirit of God speaks straight into Philip and leads him on a road. And in that road, he gets to meet an Ethiopian eunuch in that space. And it says that the Ethiopian eunuch was a God-fearing man. He was studying the scriptures. He was trying to understand. He was trying to make sense, but he did not quite understand. So he was reading a passage of Isaiah. And the Spirit of God told Philip to go and stand right next to him on the road. Such an interesting story there. You know, when I went to study a little bit more about the Ethiopian eunuch, you see, he's a God-fearing man, but he wasn't actually able to access the temple. He had a physical deformity, so he was not allowed into the temple, but he believed in God. There is a research paper by McCrindle, which came out about 2017, and it was about faith and belief in Australia, and it had some statistics. Again, always good to back it up with statistics, isn't it? Can't add up. But one of the really interesting pieces that they did research, they sample sized about 1,000 people and they asked a series of questions, and then they did it again. So in 2011, they came up with 61% of our population was a Christian population, that they believed in Christ. Yeah. By 2017, that's how many years? 5, 6, my maths is really quite bad, isn't it? There was a 45% decrease, which meant that people did not, they didn't classify themselves as total Christians. They classified themselves as spiritual, but not religious, that they did not understand Christ. Isn't that an interesting statistic? So that's a huge percentage that has dropped. So there are God-fearing people out there, but they don't know how to access it through Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. Wow. There's a statistical fact that's researched about Australia and the heart. Wow. And there's a beautiful story about Philip on that, and I want to unpack that with you guys today. And then the third one, oh, really bad at maths today, was Paul and the Epicureans. So Acts chapter 17. Pastor Carr, I remember you preaching about this. yes. That was the first time I heard it. And you know what I thought? Epicurean, all you can eat buffet. Am I not my father's daughter? So then had to go research a little bit more about what that story meant. Unpack that story, and it's a beautiful story about Paul. And it says this, that Paul was in the temple with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, and he was debating with them. But he was also in the marketplace sharing. And because of his sharing, that people saw him, and they invited him into the Apagopolis. Yeah, he was invited to speak inside that space. And what a transformation. We all know the story of Saul became Paul. It's all about dissolving the divide. You see, if when you look in the scriptures and you see and understand the scriptures, you will see that God is a totally inclusive God for everyone. That everyone matters. Black, white, free, slave, all matters. Men, women, God is an inclusive God. The vision of the church is of an inclusive church. They were breaking cultural norms and barriers at that point. How can we get back into the scripture and bring that into today's world where we need it now more than ever? So, I'm glad you asked that question because I have three practical takeaways that I wanted to discuss today based on these stories. And these stories are so good. I encourage you to go back and read into it and study into it. Because the faith is a thing that is, you have to go on your own journey, right? On Sundays, you might get the lesson, you might get my insights, my lenses, whoever's speaking, whoever shares this stage. And it's our heart to share what Christ is saying to us, but you have to go on that journey yourself. Yeah? And I've sat in a seat before, years actually. Why do you think my memory is so good with some Bible verses? I was growing up in the church, but until it became mine, until I began to sit in the Word, study upon the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to share with me, to show me, it doesn't become your truth. So I encourage you guys, go back and study and read into this and ask God, what is He saying to you? Because He speaks. He speaks in all things. It says in creation that his mysteries are all there. Okay, so let's get to the application. So I have three things that I've learned through studying these scriptures that I wanted to share with you. The first one is to be there. To ask the question where God has placed you. To be there. You see, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, where was Jesus? Jesus was tired. He'd just been on a journey. He was tired. It was noon. Where did he go? He went to the well. Why? Because he was tired. He needed a rest and he wanted a drink. It was a moment in time that Jesus was there, and it was there that he encountered the Samaritan woman. Water well. What's the equivalent of a water well today? Could it be the gym? Could it be water cooler? Very good. Well said. What if it's the water cooler in the office? Parched, tired, thirsty. So well said. You know, where are you placed? You look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. The Spirit of God, the angel said to Philip, go on this road. Didn't tell him where he was going, just go on the road. So what does he do? He obediently follows. He walks on the road, and what does he see? He sees the Ethiopian eunuch, of which then the Spirit says, go stand next to him. Go stand next to the chariot. So where are you being placed? You look at Paul and the Epicureans. You know, he's 1 foot in the temple, 1 foot in the marketplace. He is there in both spheres, inside and outside. It is actually all God's, correct? But he is there. So where has God placed you? And I think sometimes we make things harder than it needs to be. My husband says I do that quite a lot. Yes? But when you simplify, where has God put you? Because wherever you are, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in your friendship group, your family group, your community group, He has put you there for a reason. He has got you there with people around you. Because again, we are made to be connected to one another. We are jigsaw puzzles, correct? So how are we sharing the light and love of Jesus in that moment, in that space? Where has He placed you? You know, for a while I had the privilege of working with some young people, just in terms of like coaching and just seeing what the world could offer them after university into their work. And so many of them were like, I must become a full-time minister. I've been called into full-time ministry. And I urge you to think that your work is actually your worship. You look at that word avoda, the Hebrew word, and it means work worship. That when you are doing the work that God has destined you, purposed you to do, when you are flowing in the giftings that He has given you, you are worshiping Him. That when you are doing that, you attract others to see. You know, there is Minna's school teacher a couple of years ago had the most amazing school teacher, and you could see that her work was her worship. She did it with such diligence. She did it with such love, such intentionality. That was where God had placed her to be with school children, to affect change in that space. You know, it doesn't have to be you standing in the podium. Pulpit is the word, sorry, technical term. It is wherever God has placed you. So where has He placed you? And what is He saying to you? Holy Spirit, let You come and speak clearly to us, that we may hear, that our ears may hear, that You may prompt us to stand close. It is easy to point a finger and say from afar, but it is much harder to journey closely with people, correct? I think, you know, the model of evangelism before is you get your tract, you say this, you have, you know, knock door, you quickly deliver the word of Christ, and then, whoa. But where are you placed? Because people see with their eyes, people learn with their eyes. You know, you might be around the water cooler, and there might be some issues happening at work, but people are looking at how you live your life. It's nothing like the scripture if it doesn't flow through you, correct? That's where you set yourself apart. If you've called yourself a Christ follower, a Christ lover in the workplace, I urge you, get connected to Christ deeper and deeper. Humbly follow. And humbly can sometimes hurt, I'm just saying. But when you do, that becomes a living testimony for others to see Christ through you. Yes? The next one is be invited to step into the shoes. It says in John 4, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The disciples had gone to town to buy food. Jesus humbled Himself to ask her for a drink, right? This is a woman that naturally, normally, culturally, He wouldn't connect with. But He humbled Himself to her and asked her for a drink. Think about that for a minute. How often are we asking? Or are we actually telling? Oof! How often do we ask? To humble yourself and to ask. If our Lord Jesus Christ can do it, how not about us? When you look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, it says this in chapter 31. How can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You see, the angel of God had told Philip to go upon that road. The Spirit of the Lord had told him to stand next to the chariot. So he was there journeying. And it was there that he observed the Ethiopian eunuch with the passage, with the scripture, studying it and reading it. And then Philip asked him the question, do you understand it? A question. Ask. I really loved how Patrick Humblestone last week said, we've got to get into apologetics. We got to know the scripture to defend our faith. We got to know the scripture inside and out to know our faith. Yes? We got to know our scripture inside out so that we can answer the questions. Because I tell you what, there are questions. People are asking, people are seeking. But how do we know how to answer those questions? A, if we don't ask the questions, and B, we are not rooted in the scripture to be able to articulate the answers. We've got to ask God for them, right? And then on the story of Paul and the Epicureans, it says, when they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they were said to him, may we know what new teaching you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking and listening to their ideas. To be invited into the space. So recently I was in a meeting. Yes, it was the COO was coming in to talk to us because our team unfortunately had very bad statistics when it came to capturing the data on our system. Anyone who knows systems will know that it is only as good as the data you put in, correct? Okay, amen. and so the COO was coming in to talk to us, specifically my team. And so we're sitting there on conference call and he comes in and the first thing he says is, your results are terrible. You have bottomed the ladder. It is ridiculous. And he started to rant and rave about how bad our statistics were. Guess what? We all knew our statistics weren't there. We knew the activity, the lodging was not there. But do you want to know why? You see, we had been on a journey for the 2 months prior. And we were shaken like you would not believe it. And there would have been something amazing if he had come alongside us to go, you know what? I know you've lost your jobs. I know that you're on JobKeeper at the moment, and it must be really hard to be able to struggle through this when the whole world seems to be shifting right now in this moment. But I tell you what, I want you to succeed. I want you to do well. I want you to be able to find a place to flourish here. How can I help you? How can I help you do this well? And I guess this is the thing, is to be invited into the conversation, to walk with that person, to know that person. And graciously, God gave us the opportunity to do that. And graciously, I was able to talk to him and he was able to see, and then he came back and, you know, he's been so loving because I know the guy. He is a fantastic, fantastic man who really genuinely cares. But in that moment, you see, he decided not to walk with us, not to be invited to speak. Straight into that point. And I think when it comes to be invited to win trust, you got to be humble. You got to step into their shoes. What are they feeling? You know, right now, there is a lot of feelings going on out there. People are scared. People are hurt. People are fearful. There's so many feelings that are going on there. It is easy to come in abrupt. Here's my opinion. I'll machine gun you with my opinion right here, right now. But it is much harder to ask the question, what are you feeling? How are you handling things at this moment? And I tell you what, when you start to ask these questions, you will be amazed. You will be amazed because people will open up. Why? Because you care. You have asked. You've been invited into their space. You can win trust with people. There is something about stepping into their shoes and sharing and walking the faith journey with them. So where has God placed you? What is he saying to you? And how can you be invited? How can you be invited into spaces. People see with their eyes. People right now need to see the hope, the peace. You know, we shared Ephesians 2, verse 15 to 18. He preached peace to those far and peace to those near. When you look into the scriptures, it is all about peace. It is all about love. It is about righteousness. It is about justice. It is about mercy. It is about his peace and his love. And this is what the world needs now more than ever. And Jesus came to preach peace to those far as well as those near. So how can you take that message of peace wherever you are in the jigsaw puzzle and share it? Share it with the lens of love. And we come to the third piece, which is actually to be the love. Now, I've got to say, one of the biggest Hallmark cards is, and you know, every wedding ceremony that you ever go to, what does it say? Love is patient. Love is kind. So true. But if you come back to the beginning of that passage, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3, it reads this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but I do not love, I gain nothing. Sit with that. You see, Ten Commandments are, when you break it down, it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, right? And then the next one is to love one another. So you could get your relationship right with God, but if you are not loving one another, then how does that work? You might have all, you know, God reveals to you the mysteries, the knowledge, but if you cannot give it in love, then it's not loving one another, is it? Then you are nothing. Isn't it interesting? You know, we spend time in the Word, we spend time in the Scriptures, we seek His face to hear His voice, to know Him so that He can transform us, He can change us. But then we take the message out in love. That's the beautiful story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He encountered Christ early and then he was transformed. You know, as it says there, as he was asked the question, well, can you please explain it to him? It says that he went to explain the good news, the gospel. And I would picture it this way. You're in a chariot. Here comes Philip. He's like, well, explain it to me. What does it mean? And you read into the passage of Isaiah, because it's taken from Isaiah, and it talks about the lamb. And Philip has had the encounter. He met Jesus. He walked with Jesus on the earth. So I would imagine that as Philip is talking to him, that's the story he's telling. And then he would be able to tell the story of from his own testimony, seeing Jesus hang on the cross. The love and the redemption that he has for us all, mankind. He would be telling him from his own personal testimony. That's the story of love. The transformation power of Jesus Christ in your heart. Knowing him. You know, it's one thing to come in on Sundays, listen to a really great message and then leave. But knowing him, spending time with him, being transformed by him. We are all being transformed. It is a journey. There are things that he is doing that only he can do. The deep work that only God can do in you. And so I picture it. Chariot, Philip, sharing the testimony in love. So much so that they get to a pool of water and the Ethiopian guy says, hey, can I be baptized? You know, right here, right now, there's water, let's do it. And Philip is, yes, let's do it. I'm paraphrasing clearly. Take that step of faith. Because when you are there, when you are placed, when you are obedient to the voice of God, and you are there connecting, when you are sharing from a space of realness, the transformation Philip had had in his own life from his own perspective of what the gospel is, walking with Jesus. We all have our own faith story, correct? We all have our own faith story. We all have a story of hope. We all have the story of when we encountered Christ and how our lives will change. And it is a continual story. It might have been one event that at first started, but it is a continual work that God is doing in your life. To share that story with someone, the absolute beauty of it. When I was talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch to someone, and he goes, yeah, so cool, yeah, he got teleported. And I went, that part. And he goes, yeah, my kids love the story, he got teleported away. And I went, oh, yes, we all ponder upon it, read it. But it is to be the love. You know, I look at Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, intersecting what was culturally different at that time, at the face. And Jesus spoke truth. He never condemned. He spoke truth with so much love that she was transformed, that she encountered. You know, it goes on to say that she was saying, well, the Samaritans believe and worship here, but the Jews worship over there. And this is where Jesus says, well, actually, God's seeking the true worshippers. The fields are ripe for harvest. Do you know what happened afterwards, after that woman encountered Jesus at the well? She was the first evangelist. Because like any woman who is on fire for a reason, she went back to the village and she took everyone she knew and she brought him. She brought them. She transformed, went to share. She could not help but share. It is like when you, again, father's daughter, breaking it down into terms of food. You know, when you get the bun. Remember those buns that they had at the Melbourne Hotel? Oh, once you bit one of those, it was just transformational. What did I do? I had to go buy them. I had to share them with people. I had to tell them. And, you know, it's a prerogative, right, to encounter Christ. I know the buns is a different story, but to encounter Christ, you cannot help but share the message. You cannot help but share the good news. And because of that, and these were different peoples, culturally different people that were not within the Jewish sect. And at that time, it was a Jewish sect. To be the love. Paul. And I remember when Pastor Cara spoke on this, and it just sat with me, and I was thinking and thinking more of this, but I want to read you from the scripture here. It says, people of Athens, I see the way, in the very way that you are religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So here you have Paul. He's in the temple and he's in the marketplace. He's intersecting, right? He's there. And he's speaking and sharing his faith in a way that people get drawn to it. People are like, what are you saying? This is new. I've not heard this before. What's this message that you're talking about? Share. Tell me. He gets invited into this space. And when he's there, he does it with such humility and grace to take the time of saying, I see, I've gone around your city. You know, if you look earlier on in the scriptures, he said he was around there and he was distraught. He was distraught to see the godlessness that was there. But did he start with that? No. He started with, I've gone around, I've seen. You're very religious. In fact, you're searching. Let me tell you, you're searching and there's a sign that says to the unknown God. Well, let me share you my faith. To the known God, to the God that I know. Let me share with you. Isn't that powerful? When we love, love is a beautiful thing. You know, in this time, in this place, love is light. Love is God in action. Love doesn't happen just only inside the house, it happens outside. You know, we've got the Black Lives Matter protest that is storming across the world at the moment. And I've got to say this, God is a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness, right? God loves righteousness and justice, correct? It is throughout the scripture. There is ways of war to get it, and there's ways of love to get it. I look at the civil unrest with Martin Luther King. Have you ever heard the speech of Martin Luther King? When you actually open and read that speech, it's "I have a dream." Yeah, it's kids, movies, it's popularized in culture. "I have a dream." You unpack that, and it is literally the Bible. It is sharing about the light and love of Jesus, that all mankind can come together, all mankind can participate, can eat around the table of brotherhood. It talks about righteousness. That is the love of God in this space. That is civil rights with love. You look at that time era and you see Malcolm X. He also wanted equality. He also wanted justice. But the way he went about it was not in love. There was hurt. There was pain. There was conflict. You know, those who have been in the house and would have heard me share some of my stories over the years, you know, there was a time in my life where I had been hurt. And gender equality was something that was really important to me, because I had been wronged. Of which, when I went about it, it was so easy to find people who had also been wronged. It was so easy to stir up conflict until God humbled me. I did say humbling is not always the smoothest process. But God brought me to the place of, is this the right thing to do? I want equality. Women are very important to me. In fact, life doesn't start without the woman on the other side carrying the baby, right? Women are important. But how do we go about it? There is a way with fighting, and there is a way with love. God's way is always the way with love, correct? I want to finish with a vision. I was just talking to some of the ladies outside, and we were talking about the COVID kilos and what do you do when the gyms shut down, right? The gyms shut down. So I normally am a 5 o'clock in the morning girl at F45 doing my class, but then the gym shut down, so I couldn't do my 5 o'clock class. So then I had to switch my schedule around, which was to pray first and then exercise later. And so during March, when the lockdown happened, it was still quite bright at that time, but I would come out in the mornings and I would come out and it would be light. I would see light at my dining room table where I set up my station. And I would come out and I could see my backyard, my trampoline, just the garden. There was light. And I was really curious. I went outside, checked, I was like, is it the moon? Is there like a street lamp? Is it my next door neighbor? How come I can see everything? Like, I can literally see everything. And it was just natural. It was natural light that was there. Now, what would happen at 5 o'clock in the morning when I turned my light on inside? Guess what? What do you think happened? Well, the inside got bright, right? The inside got illuminated. It was so bright, you could see everything. But what happened to the outside? Exactly, you guys did good in science. But the outside became pitch black. The outside became pitch black. And I had been curious. As you all know, I'm just like Minna, or Minna's just like me, very curious. Had to go and ask so many people. So I go into work and I asked everybody, hey, what's it like at your house at 5 o'clock in the morning? What was the answer that I got? I'm still sleeping at 5, Phoebe. What do you think? I don't know. So for a while, I kept pondering and thinking and thinking and wondering. Then it was coming up to Pentecost Sunday, so 31st of May. And I'm part of a group of women in this city who pray into the city and speak prophetically into the city, and we had to prepare a video. I was like, oh, video? I don't even know how I made it to the group, but okay. So I come in and I start praying and I'm like, God, give me something. Reveal yourself to me. Give me something. What can I say? And do you know what God showed me? That is like what it is. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was light and dark. He didn't create the sun and the moon until day four. But in the beginning, he created heavens and the earth, light and dark. There is light out there. God's light, God's DNA in everything. You know, you look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with? And the Word was? Yay. Through him all things were made. In him was life, and that was the light of all mankind. No, thank you. Hang on. The whole thing is there. I couldn't fit on my picture. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that was the life, was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that beautiful? The light of our Lord, our Savior, is there. He is the life, he is the light. You know, the song, The Blessing, I've been playing it on repeat over and over and over again, to be a blessing. You know, the song comes straight from Scripture. It's to be a blessing. What if we are to be the blessing to the nations? You know, that is a old, from the Old Testament, and it talks about Abraham and his seed, right? To be a blessing. And through that seed, that plumb line, shall I say, Jesus Christ came. Yeah. For us all, inside and outside, that was Jesus' intention for one new humanity, to preach peace to those far and peace to those near. That through the blood of Christ hanging on the cross, that we are redeemed, that we have access to the Father. What would it look like now, 2020? That we would be the hands and feet, that we could bless others, that we could be the interface. You know, where there is war, we could be peace. Where there is hate and conflict, we could share love. What would that look like if we were living testimonies to the word of Christ? God is a good God. The jigsaw puzzle is bigger than we can ever imagine. It has the beginning and the end. You know, some call it the left, the right, the politics inside, but I tell you what, God transcends. There is an upward point. Fix your eyes on him. Let him do the deep work that only he can do in your life. And then take it and spread it. Love one another. Love our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? It's not just the people inside, it's the people outside. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch the lives of everybody here. That you stir up the hearts. You activate the giftings. You have poured, you have created us. You have designed every single piece of us. You have prepared us in advance for your good works. Lord, may your good works be your light and life, intersecting into this world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I don't know how to finish now. I will ask the worship team to come up. Can we sing the God is an Awesome God song? That was really cool, wasn't it? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns on heaven on high with wisdom, power, and love. All the wisdom, all the power, and all the love.
Shall we stand?
Yes.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our hand to the Lord. Tomorrow morning, where you go, whether it's the workplace or the schools or among your friends, this is the place where God has placed you with an assignment. Assignment to be His light, to be His salt, not to judge, not to argue, but to ask that question, can I help you? And start that conversation where you can express the love of God. Each one of you, there are great depth, there are great story, there are great testimony of God in you. I pray that today it will be released, that wherever you go, that you will look for the opportunity. There are hearts crying to know the living God. You have Him. Don't keep Him, share Him. Ask God for the opportunity. Wherever you go, be a blessing. Lord, I pray for your people. I thank you for your word this morning, that you have removed every barrier and you bring a new humanity. Those that come through the cross to become your people, so that, Lord, that they can go everywhere as your representative, as your ambassador. I ask, Lord, make us aware. May our eyes see and our ear hear. Give us the hand to seize the opportunity where we can share about you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.